This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Glynis Board. This morning, we'll learn about a project called Black in Appalachia, which is about to launch a new podcast. The show's co-host, Angela Dennis, says she hopes to empower the region's Black youth.
To make Appalachia something that they can feel proud of and that will empower them to not only stay, but to strive and fight to make this place a viable place, all of the things that they need to have good lives in this region.
We'll hear more about it. This is West Virginia Morning. Another Ohio Valley-based coal company has filed for bankruptcy. Brittany Patterson has more.
Lexington-based Rhino Resource Partners announced on Wednesday that it was filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. The company employs about 550 workers at surface and underground coal mines in Kentucky, Ohio, Virginia, West Virginia, and Utah. That includes at three mines previously operated by Black Jewel, the embattled coal operator that grabbed headlines a year ago when miners took to the tracks demanding owed wages. In court filings, Rhino said a weak coal market was largely to blame for its financial problems. That's despite receiving a $10 million paycheck protection loan from the federal government. The company says it hopes to restructure its debt and emerge from bankruptcy. Rhino joins at least 10 other coal companies, including Murray Energy and Blackhawk Mining, that have recently sought financial restructuring. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Brittany Patterson.
In this weekend's episode of Inside Appalachia, we hear about a project from East Tennessee PBS called Black in Appalachia. The station is producing short documentaries and also curates a community history database. And now they're adding another element. In August, the project will launch a new podcast. Jessica Lilly sat down with the project's director, William Isom, and the podcast's co-host to learn more.
Education was seen as a way to get out. To get out of the mines, to raise yourself up, to not having to do this back-breaking, dangerous labor all day, every day. In East Tennessee, in the farming communities, education was seen as a way to get off the farm. You know, you had everything that you needed on the farm. You had food, you had clothes, you had shelter. But the one thing that you didn't have on the farm was money. And a way to, like, increase your station in life was seen as education. And it's really interesting for me, in this region where we're at, you know, in a 200-mile stretch in a mostly rural area, you had, you know, four historically Black colleges. You had Knoxville College, Morristown College, Swift Memorial Institute in Rogersville, Tennessee, and then you had Bluefield State in Bluefield, West Virginia. So, and you had this stretch of a network of Black colleges in East Tennessee. And so I think that and East Tennessee and Southern West Virginia. And so I think that was unique in a lot of ways. There's other parts of the South that had, you know, dozens of historically Black colleges in close proximity, but in a region that's considered to have very little African American presence, to have these really well run and maintained Black institutions of higher learning in a mostly rural mountain region, I think really speaks a lot to the dedication and the value that newly freed people and people living through Jim Crow had and saw about the value of education. The way that the Appalachia looks today was created by violence against Black communities, whole Black communities. In 1918, all the Black people after a lynching were forcibly removed from Irwin, Tennessee. In 1919, all the Black people in Corbin, Kentucky were forcibly removed. The same thing happened in around Grundy, Virginia. And there's dozens of lynchings that occurred in Southern West Virginia and along the Kentucky border with West Virginia. And so all these things are occurring sequentially. And so then you get desegregation and outmigration. People don't leave their home unless there's a reason. People don't want to leave their home. So economically, people were forced to leave the region. Black folks were forced to leave the region. And they were forcibly removed from the region in lots of cases. And Jim Crow provided that legal structure where that violence could be undertaken with no repercussions to the people in power. And it's really interesting particularly to see if you look at the city councils and the county commissions of the counties in the Mountain South, oftentimes those last names are the same last names of the people that owned slaves in the region in the 1860s. So how did we get to where we are today? We've not went anywhere else. This is where we've always been, I think, as a region.
For the new Black in Appalachia podcast, Isom joined up with Angela Dennis, one of the show's co-hosts. Dennis is a journalist and literary activist.
So the Black in Appalachia podcast sort of came out of, honestly, a friendship between myself and William. I'm a sociologist at the University of Tennessee, Knoxville. I study Black Knoxville within the context of Appalachia. And William and I have sort of been following each other's work for a while, and we saw an opportunity to apply for a PRX Project Catapult grant to do a podcast, and we jumped on it immediately. And we were chosen as one of six groups to go through an extensive training program with Public Radio Exchange in Boston.
The Black in Appalachia podcast's other co-host is Dr. Nkeshi Elamin, who works at the University of Tennessee in Knoxville.
I think that it's very important because as someone who was originally born in Appalachia and kind of moved away and then ventured back, I think it helps to educate people on the Black history in Appalachia. It's, I think, less told. So for me, you know, I'm learning a lot just, you know, from being on this project. So I think it's beneficial to people in the region who feel like their history has been lost.
The podcast is meant to educate people, both Blacks and whites, about that history. Dennis says they're hoping to appeal to young people, many of whom want to leave the region.
As soon as they become about college age, it's sort of expected or sort of encouraged for them to leave the region, right? And so a part of what we're doing with this podcast is really holding space and claiming space for young Black folks in the region to stay home, right? To feel connected to this region, to see your history and to see how that history can help you to navigate the contemporary moment and really just be affirmed in your belonging to Appalachia and your identity as a Black person in this region.
And like the Black in Appalachia video series, the podcast will feature interviews and oral histories. Dennis says there's a history of racism, which is often untold in our region.
The podcast is created with young Black folks in mind, right? A lot of the work that we're doing with the Black in Appalachia initiative, we get a lot of middle-aged people sort of attached to that. They see their stories, they can tell their stories. But really, we're thinking about and want to highlight and want to, like I said, like we keep saying, make space for young folks, right? Like to make Appalachia something that they can feel proud of, that they can cling on to, and that will empower them to not only stay, but to strive and fight the injustices and to fight to make this place a viable place in terms of the material, you know, economic resources, political resources, all of the things that they need to have good lives in this region. I think that these histories have been documented in different ways. And so part of what we're doing is trying to get some of that documentation, right? So we might not have a lot of written history, or some of it might be obscured. So like we are digging and finding it and bringing it, making it visible, right? So doing some of the census research that we're doing, some of the mapping projects, right? Really uncovering places that seem to not be there anymore, or you know, are no longer in people's memory. So I think the information is there, the histories are there, the stories are there, and we're helping to bring them and make them visible and really to empower Black folks as knowers and doers of history, right? So that in cases where you don't have something that's written, your grandmother or your great-grandmother told you the story. And so, you know, we're validating those stories as legit stories, as valuable stories, and making them visible.
That was Angela Dennis speaking with Jessica Lilly. Dennis co-hosts a new podcast from East Tennessee PBS called Black in Appalachia, which launches in August. You can hear more of this conversation on this weekend's episode of Inside Appalachia. Listen Sunday morning at 7 or Sunday evening at 6, or download the podcast at wvpublic.org. In our Mountain Stage Song of the Week, we have percussive dance blending with old-time instruments for a fresh take on traditional music by the trio called T-Mark Rounders. Dancer Becky Hill, fiddler and vocalist Jesse Milnes, and banjoist Kevin Chesser make up the T-Mark Rounders. Today, they bring us our Song of the Week, Margaret's Song.
said that John would never go to work and pay the rent, but at least John didn't beat on me like all my sister's men. My daddy was a mean old man. He never did no good. He ran my Johnny out of town the only way he could. He said I couldn't marry John since I was just 16. So we ran away to Baltimore, my little John and me. The city was a cold, hard place to live for 40 years, but we made our house a loving home and raised a family there. Then we moved back to the hills of home, back to the mountain air, and all we knew was happiness for a little while there. Too soon our dream began to fade and to unwind, and the doctors said that Alzheimer's would take my Johnny's mind. He said, just put me in a home. I knew I never could. I always thought I'd care for him. I always said I could. Came home to an empty house. I looked there for his guns. His favorite one was missing, and I knew just what he'd done. He didn't want to burden me. He wanted me to live. But what do I have in this world if Johnny's gone from me?
That was our Mountain Stage Song of the Week, Margaret's Song by the T-Mart Rounders. You can hear more of this Friday and Saturday nights at 8 right here on West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our Appalachia Health News Project is made possible with support from CAMC and Marshall Health. West Virginia Morning is produced with help from Caitlin Tan, Jessica Lilly, Kara Lofton, Liz McCormick, Dave Mistich, Brittany Patterson, Eric Douglas, Corey Nollinger, Emily Allen, and Roxy Todd. Andrea Billups is our news director. I'm your host and producer, Glennis Board, and this is West Virginia Morning.